Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and we welcome Steve Jerdahl.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you, sir?
It's a good day.
It's a good day to be alive.
It is. You know, I'm vertical. That's always always better than the possibility.
Opposite, yeah. The opposite of that. Ed, this is Sanctity of Human Life Month, I believe it is, here in American Family Association and American Family Radio. For as long as we've been around, since 1991, we have made an emphasis of this. What is sanctity of human life? What does that mean? Why is it important? And why do we stand for it? And what are we doing about it?
Well, we are a pro-life ministry because we are a Christian ministry, which means we support and believe in the sanctity of human life, which is to say that we believe that God, that we are made in the image of God,
right,
and that every human life is critically important, it's valuable to God, it's valuable to us. So most of our listeners probably know that over 1.2 million babies are aborted in America every year. Well, this week, folks, you're listening to American Family Radio, you're going to hear a lot about a ministry called Preborn. And this ministry, Preborn, and American Family Radio are asking you to partner with us this week to help moms choose life. Well, how does that work? Well, Preborn works with hundreds of Christian pregnancy centers across the country to provide life-saving services such as ultrasounds. Now, you'll be hearing all week, you'll be hearing testimonies from ladies who went into one of these crisis pregnancy centers. They had an ultrasound. They heard their baby's heartbeat for the first time, maybe saw images of their unborn baby, and they realized this wasn't a blob of tissue. This is a human life. They kept that baby. So when that happens, when a mom has an ultrasound and hears the baby's heartbeat, 80% of those mothers choose to keep the baby. So what can you do that you are listening? How can you participate in what American Family Radio and Preborn are doing together? Well, we're asking you to give at least $28. A gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, okay, giving the mom an opportunity to choose life for her baby. So $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions reaching five different women. You get the point we're trying to make. Our goal this week is to help raise the money to save 2,000 babies. So we're trying to get that kind of donations from our listeners. $28. How does this happen? Now, by the way, 100% of your donation will go directly to the pregnancy centers providing the ultrasounds. How can you get in on this life-saving week? You can call this number, 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can learn more and or donate online at AFR.net. If you go to AFR.net, you'll see the big splash there at the top of the page for Preborn this week. You'll be hearing more all week long on American Family Radio. $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. We want our listeners to participate.
We saving babies, right?
Right.
We can do this.
Yes, we can do this. 2,000, that is not too much for our listeners to get involved and to donate.
Amen. Steve, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. Yeah. Continuing on that theme, the New York Times has chosen to celebrate Life, Right to Life Month with a scathing 8-part, it's dressed up as news, but as an editorial section on what they're calling a woman's right to choose. And Bill Donahue of the Catholic League has kind of taken a look at some of this. I haven't had a chance to read all 8, but he says it's peppered with anecdotes. The series pays almost no attention to data. Highly debatable assertions are routinely made without any supporting evidence. Nascent human life is referred to as nothing more than a cluster of cells. And they go on this 8-part diatribe defending abortion. And he asks, why now? Well, aside from the fact that it's January and it's Right to Life Month, he says that Well, with the way that the Supreme Court is leaning, the Roe v. Wade is under threat. So they wanted to highlight the threat.
Who, the New York Times did?
The New York Times did, wanted to highlight this threat. They didn't pay attention. The real reason that it's in the news and that this debate is going on is because of what we're talking about today, which is technology. Technology has made it more than abundantly scientifically evident that the life inside the womb is a life. But they ignore the science when it's inconvenient. To their point, though, today Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is missing her first oral arguments ever since she joined the court in 1993. So they are concerned with her and what another appointment would do.
This is after surgery, following surgery.
Following surgery from where she broke some ribs, and then they found lung cancer. They had to remove a couple lobes of her lung, and she's recovered
from
that.
What age is she?
She's 90, I want to say 93.
She's not that old, is she? Is she?
Maybe not.
All right, I'll check.
It was 1993 when she was put on the court, so 85. She's 85 last month. Yeah. Sorry. But this is how the New York Times is choosing to react to this.
Yeah. Month. Yeah, the pro-life cause has been winning the argument, I think, over the last 10 or so years with people who want to look at this honestly. And that is, the technology has, if you ever wondered, well, is this a human life or not, technology has shown with the 3D ultrasound and so forth, that yes, obviously this is a human life. The heartbeat is when? The heartbeat is before you ever know you're pregnant, right?
I think that's right. Yeah. Isn't it like 10 weeks or something?
Oh, before that, before 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, so the baby's heartbeat is, that's why you have, I think in Ohio you have the heartbeat bill.
Yeah.
Is before you know you're, before most women know that they're even pregnant. So, yes, it's a human life.
Around week six of your pregnancy.
Okay. So it's a human life, and what the people who are pro-choice don't want most young ladies to see who are pregnant is this, what we were talking about earlier, with the preborn, the ultrasound, right? Because then it becomes real.
Well, you know? That's what the statistics show. 80% of the women who have the ultrasound and hear the heartbeat choose not to have their abortion. That's a statistic that scares pro-aborts.
You know, the thing that you're hearing more of, well, I don't know if you're hearing more of it, but from people who are pro-abortion, they would call themselves pro-choice. And that is, at least some of them are saying, we don't care whether it's a human being or not. It's still the mother still should have the right to terminate the pregnancy, is what they call it.
Right.
That's a scary thought. They have to say that, of course, because the science is becoming.
I know. That's what I'm saying. What do you do with the science? There was a time where you could the pro-abortion side would say, again, they probably call themselves pro-choice. They would say, we don't know whether it's a human life. Who are you, God, or not? You know what I mean? But now that the science is out, some of them are saying, well, we don't care whether it's a human life or not. We don't believe it's a value over the life, over the right of the mother.
Well, I wrote an article probably 10 years ago for the AFA Journal. I've mentioned this on the air before, but this was an article about, this was in the British press, the daughter of the man who has performed the most abortions in the United Kingdom. Now, she's a pro-abortion activist, this woman. She was challenged to watch one of these films that, I don't know if it was The Silent Scream or something like that, that actually show the video of a baby being aborted. This is, you know, real footage. And so she accepted the challenge. I'll never forget this, what you guys are talking about. She wrote about this. She said, I watched it. And I saw that baby being dismembered, and she said, my hand flew to my mouth, and I thought to myself, this is murder. She said, and to me, I, when I was writing this article, I said, her conscience was speaking to her. She said, but after I allowed my emotional reaction to, after I calmed down, I realized it didn't matter. if it was murder or not, or if this was a baby. She said the right to an abortion trumps it. And that was one of the scariest admissions I've ever heard. Here's a woman whose own conscience told her this was murder, and she rationalized her way out of that.
How far a leap is it from that to saying, well, here's a baby that was born with Down syndrome?
I think it's a far leap.
It's not a far leap. To say that if we don't, if we are okay, I'm sorry, you said
Down syndrome. Okay, my apologies.
My point, and here's what I was saying.
I'll explain myself when you get through.
Here's
maybe it does need explanation.
Maybe it wasn't clear. But how far is it from a leap to say, yeah, it's human, but we don't care. We can kill it because the mother has the right, to saying, well, yeah, it's human. It was born a year ago, but it is so damaged that we don't care anymore. We're going to have to kill it. I mean, it's just a short leap in my mind.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. The reason I said what I said was that it's a far leap is for the reasons Ed cited. When this woman, you said this woman was been involved in the abortion industry?
Yeah, her father has performed more, at the time I wrote the article, performed more abortions in the UK than anyone else.
Okay, when she saw it.
And I think she was a filmmaker as well.
Yeah, when she saw it on a video of the ultrasound,
yes.
Then it became real instead of abstract.
Yes.
And the reason I think it's a far leap for people to go from being for pro-abortion or pro-choice for unborn babies as opposed to live babies.
Euthanasia, basically.
Out of the womb,
mm-hmm.
is because they see it and they hear it. If you don't see it and you don't hear it, then it's not real. You can compartmentalize that,
right.
You know, with your emotions, like this woman did. She said, once I got away from the video of what was happening, then I went back to the pro-choice argument.
Yeah.
And so who has a right to decide? The woman and her doctor?
This
is how they play it out.
Right.
You know, or some person who wants to impose their religion on this woman.
Right. Because
they don't agree with the...
Going to force that woman to have her baby.
Yeah, see how that plays out?
Yeah.
Now, that's when you win people over. I'm talking about the average person out there who don't really understand the issue very well, don't really keep up with it very well. They have no feelings one way or another, except they don't like the idea of somebody telling a pregnant woman, you must have this baby. I think most people say, I don't want to force her to do this if she doesn't want to. I don't want.
Yeah.
Why do I want to get involved in that decision? It should be between her and her doctor. You see,
right.
that sounds really American, doesn't
right.
it? Except when you say, what do you believe that you should, do you believe in choice if the choice is, you know, dismembering an unborn baby arm by arm, leg by leg? And then they say, well, no.
Right.
And they're repulsed by it. But
yeah.
See, you have to make it real to
a
people.
Picture.
You
yeah.
have to make it a picture. So I think... I understand what you're saying, though. Now, you're
policy-wise, I'm saying, I guess.
In terms of the argument, there's no logical difference.
No, there's not.
Right.
But to your point, Tim, so I'm saying you're both right. To your point, Tim,
you're running for office or something?
Our country would have to sink into the depths, and maybe people argue we're already there. But for this country, a majority of people to say, yeah, one-year-olds, I'm good with
no, that. That'll never happen, in my opinion. People may say, well,
I hope you're right.
I don't think that'll ever happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. Next story.
Boy, let's go for some good news for a change. The economy. We've got last Friday we had some jobs numbers out that just blew everybody away. 312,000 jobs added in December. Manufacturing is growing 714 percent faster under President Trump than it did under President
Obama. Say that again.
Manufacturing is growing 714% faster under President Trump than it was under President Obama.
What are we making?
Well, we're making things. We're making solar panels and cars for one, and some of the steel plants and the president is resurrecting in the East. So all these things are
America's making steel again.
America.
I like it.
America. Yes.
Are we really?
Apparently, that's what Steve Jordahl just said.
I don't know about steel. I know iron.
What did you just say? I thought you just said steel.
I think that the president has has started.
I'm going by what you say, Steve. I know. I'm believing every word you're saying.
And you should.
I didn't hear him say that, so that's why I'm asking you.
The president has restarted the manufacturing in the Northeast. He's revived some of the coal mines and some of the steel plants. I think they are in the process. I don't know how much those numbers factor in yet to the 312,000 jobs that were added, some of them certainly.
Yeah.
But our base economy, our manufacturing is way up across the, you know, in general.
That's good news. And
it is good.
Unemployment was good news as well, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, we're still a very low unemployment, record low unemployment rate. Record, especially a record for minority communities like the Black community and
Hispanic community, very, very low.
Very low unemployment.
I am very, very happy to see that the economic policies of President Obama are finally kicking
in. I know. Isn't it about time? You know,
he's tried to take credit for it.
Well, he has several times. And like he tried to push off blame for the problems he was having at the beginning.
On Bush,
yes. Yeah. Meanwhile, our government shutdown is entering its 17th day, I think it is. And so I guess my question is, how much is this hurting if we're still adding jobs? And, of course, the jobs numbers that we got here don't reflect the government shutdown era. But, you know, day 17 of the United States government not passing bad bills, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, it's not. Again, we need to be sensitive to this in this respect. There are a lot of us who know people who work for the federal government
right.
who are about to not receive a paycheck.
Yes.
About to have to skip a paycheck. Yeah. Now, if history's true, they'll be back. They will be given this back pay.
Yeah.
And so whenever this issue is resolved, so
President Trump says it might
they're
be
not losing,
a year, so.
They're not losing their jobs. They're just being delayed on payment and getting a lot of time off. You know,
right.
So just that, to put this in context of, quote, shutting down the federal government, and also they are deemed, quote, non-essential.
Yeah.
Which that would be hard for me to take if I were a federal government employee and they told me, well, guess what? You're non-essential.
You're in the non-essential category. Yeah. It is kind of humorous that that's the designation, all non-essential government personnel.
Right.
And you go, well, if they're non-essential, ... why do we need them to start with?
Begs the question, yeah. Doesn't it?
Just to be clear, it's the non-essential people from yeah. the agencies that have yet to be funded, because much of the government was funded from before
right.
the shutdown.
You think the average American who is not personally touched by this do you think they're clamoring for it to be over anytime soon? No, I mean, guess
well, the average American. No, I don't. I think it's probably reinforcing whatever views of government they already had,
yeah.
or of the
well,
parties.
I mean, the Democrats are counting on this hurting the president, and the Republicans. The president, and the Republicans are counting on this hurting the Democrats, and I don't know if it's going to hurt either one.
Well, according to the latest a poll by economist YouGov.
You too?
An economist YouGov survey gauged the level of concern Americans have on the issue of immigration or illegal immigration. And that's, of course, at the heart of this shutdown. The
right.
president won't sign a funding bill unless it has money for a border wall. Well, Americans seem to agree, by and large, and so they find that only 7% overall say illegal immigration is not a problem. Only 7%. Now, they start with 40% of Americans overall saying illegal immigration is a very serious problem. 22% says it's somewhat a problem. 24% says it's a minor problem. And, of course, those numbers are skewed, as you would expect, with Republicans skewing more towards it is a problem and Democrats skewing more towards it is not a problem. But still, a sizable majority. This is
so that's
by far.
63% say it's a serious or somewhat serious?
40, 62. No, it's 88%.
Say it's a problem to some extent.
12,
whether
yeah.
it's minor, somewhat, or serious problem.
Yeah. So this is an issue, and it's by far the largest issue among the issues that they gauged. In other words,
where did you get this survey?
This is an economist YouGov survey.
I've used their stuff before.
Yeah. It's
credible.
Reputable. Credible.
So it seems to me that the people are kind of swinging towards President Trump's side of the issue. If whether or not they're swinging toward him or not is a different question. But if that's the case, then I would submit that the government shutdown hurts Democrats more than president, if that if these numbers are accurate.
Yeah, you know, the Democrats are being completely and utterly unreasonable on this. Now, in their minds, they're stopping the president from getting what he wants, and so therefore it is reasonable, because they get up every morning not thinking, how can we is this a good idea or not? Is this something that helps our country or not? They get up every morning saying, is President Trump for it, against it?
Right.
Because we're gonna take whatever side he's not on. That's how they view politics right now. It's not what's good or bad for the country.
Right.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to say puppies are cute and just watch the
right. And then they say no, they're not. No, they're not. And that's saying we
like kittens.
We're gonna stand back then.
They probably would like kittens. Taking the high road, Vice President Pence says he's not going to accept any kind of a pay raise during this shutdown. He is scheduled to get a $12,800 pay raise this Friday.
Annual.
His salary is going to go from $230,700 to $243,500, and it would start, I believe it's supposed to start this Friday, but he's not going to accept that pay raise. Of course, President.
That's not a lot of money to be the Vice President of the United States.
Not for the heat he takes.
Huh? Well, if anybody, in my opinion, but anyway.
Well, yeah, as you know, President Trump is not accepting any salary for the job and donating his $400,000 salary to different charities or things.
Right, but what you're saying is the Vice President has said, well, this is all, you know, the appearance. The president's not going to Mar-a-Lago for, you know, I guess until this thing is resolved.
Nancy Pelosi did go to Hawaii, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
During the shutdown.
Because the optics, you know, it wouldn't look good for a president to go and
be party back, while people are
even out. Though it's on his own, at his own place, but I guess they don't want that imagery. So, anyway. All right, we got 1 minute to go here, gentlemen.
All right.
We got hold on. Oh, you got something?
I do if you want, but we don't have to go there.
Well, you got the national championship tonight.
That's true.
College football.
That's true.
I know America was clamoring for another Clemson Alabama matchup.
You can't, yeah.
So, congratulations to those two schools.
Yes.
You know, the old.
I have to say, can I say, before I forget?
Please.
I have to say this one thing. I got hammered good-naturedly from a lot of our listeners last week, because last week I mentioned I'm rooting for Clemson because their quarterback had some very good Christian things to say. I got, even within the building, I had, you know, Keith Gann, our controller, he said, you know, Alabama's quarterback's a good Christian too.
He is.
So, folks, I want to say my fault, mea culpa. I wasn't saying that Alabama.
But are you still rooting for
Clemson? I'm still rooting for Clemson.
So you're saying God doesn't care who wins tonight?
God may watch, but he's not going to play.
Do you think Alabama can win, Tim?
Can they?
Do you think Clemson can win, Tim?
Yes, I think they can. I just, you know, as a college football fan, I just want to see a great game. That's all I have. I don't want to see a blowout by halftime.
Right.
On either side, I'd like to see a great game, but. Congratulations to Alabama and to Clemson. I got to tell you, next year I want some new teams in this thing.
I'm thinking you're hoping that Iowa.
But if I look at the rosters of Alabama and Clemson, my wish is probably not going to come true. But anyway, have a great day, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow.